סליחה.
Excuse me. Regarding the lessons, the morning lessons, I don't know why, how did it turn out as perhaps as if I said, so it was understood that you don't need to hear the morning lessons again during the day.
You said that there is some flaw in coming back to repeating the source, coming back to the source, or
I don't remember. In any case, of course you should repeat and listen to the lessons again. I would listen to the lessons again over and over. Why did I record them on tape? It's also for us. When I recorded, sometimes it didn't always pan out, but sometimes I heard them again, and I wrote during the lessons, and then I went over everything I wrote again, and I asked the Rabash, why is this and why is that, and I saw many mistakes in what I wrote when I listened to the lessons. I saw that it's completely different, what I wrote and what he said, what he intended. We need to do this kind of research. How did I understand the lesson, and to try to work on that with your intellect, and especially with the new emotion. Every moment, our minds and hearts are being replaced, renewed, and the same portion that we've received, we can understand a different way. Now, how do we do it? How do we go over the same articles dozens of times? No. I don't remember in what context it was said, but not in relation to our lessons, which each one can try and go over again. And it's also worthwhile to read the original source texts, meaning Baal HaSulam and Rabash, that we've studied without any of our interpretations, and to try to understand those articles the way he is right now, and afterwards to listen to the lesson. And it doesn't matter how we'll take it, better or worse, this builds new discernments. So please.
We are in the study of the Ten Sefirot, first volume, third part, on page 102 in Hebrew, item 3, the words of the Ari.
Od Gimel.
Item 3. By the power of the Haka'ah, the striking of Or En Sof in the Masach, the Or returned upwards as Or Chozer, reflected light, that closed the Or Elyon, the upper light. The entire place until the Kav of Ein Sof is regarded as Olam Ha'atzilut, 3. Then Or En Sof that expands up to there struck that Masach. By the power of the striking of the descent, it struck there and returned upward as Or Chozer to its place. Then Olam Atzilut was completed in its Kelim, and Or En Sof clothed them once more as Atzmut. Thus, to the place where Or En Sof reaches by this manner, it is called Olam Atzilut, because it is the Or itself, but after its hitabut, its course, becoming coarser.
Again, the writings of the Ari. By the power of the Haka'ah of Or En Sof in the Masach, the light returned upwards as Or Chozer that clothes the Or Elyon. The entire place, until the Kav of Or En Sof, is regarded as Olam Atzilut. 3. Then, Or En Sof that expands up to there struck that Masach by the power of the Haka'ah of the descent. It struck it and returned upward as Or Chozer to its place. Then Olam Atzilut was completed in its Kelim, and Or En Sof clothed them once more as Atzmut. Thus, to the place where Or En Sof reaches by this manner, it is called Olam Atzilut, because it is the light itself, but after its hitabut, its becoming coarser. 70, item 70, inner light. Opnimi. The encounter of the O Elyon with the Masach is compared to two hard objects where one of them is trying to break the other's gvul, or boundary. The other stands firmly against the first and prevents the first from trespassing. Such an encounter is called haka'a. However, when two liquids encounter each other, they do not prevent each other from trespassing and mixing. Hence, there is no haka'a between them. The same applies to two supple objects. Their haka'a is not really felt because they let each other permeate the other's boundary and push their outer shell to some extent. However, with hard objects, one does not let the other move one from one's place even a little. Consequently, their encounter is perceived as haka'a, or beating. Since the tzimtzum was primarily done by the netzal, by the emanated, and not by the matzil, the emanator, the O and Sof is not at all meticulous about that tzimtzum in Malchut. Instead, it stretches down to Malchut too. Moreover, it does it forcefully, because Ein Sof filled Bchina Daled too before the Tzimtzum. For that reason, it has no reason to change its way, and it always descends to the Kli of Malchut with its light. However, the Masach and Pargod, the curtain, erected in Malchut, impede and detain the light. It does not let it expand within, even a bit. Which is why we find that O and Sof that expands up to there struck that Masach.
If there are any questions, please, you can go ahead and ask. But seriously, about what is written only. Not a step back, not a step forward. Not right nor left. Who? You? Yes?
Regarding the haka'a, if you could perhaps explain what exactly happens in this action of the haka'a. There is something called oviut, something called koshiut, who beats on who pulls who. What's happening?
Haka'a, beating or striking, is ready in advance because there's a will to receive that pulls, and there is a masach, a screen, that doesn't allow what is drawn, what is pulled, to get in to the place that it desires, the place that needs to be filled up. So there is a striking, a beating. Now, everything they're telling us about in this kind of physical kind of form, as though there is some place that has to be filled up, and there is some barrier that doesn't let something come in, we need to understand that this is about the desires, the intentions, that one is drawn to the other. What does it mean that the upper light is drawn? Does the desire pull it? Or does the light wish to enter into the desire? Or does the desire wish to receive the light? What kind of interconnection is there between them? What here is working out of the two of them? Who is working on whom? Right? Either the will to receive pulls the light, or the light is drawn into the desire. What do you think? Did everybody understand this? Does everybody understand the question? There's the two of them, the light and the desire. Is the light drawn into the desire and it wants to break into the desire? It pressures the desire? Or is it that the desire kind of yanks into it the light and it wants the light to fill it up? Well, So here there is a question. Next, when we have the force of the Masach, what is a Masach? Where is it? Is it in the desire? Before the desire, how can we talk about it? That is, it's something else, a third thing that is unclear. Either the Masach is before the entrance of the light into the desire, and it doesn't agree with the light, or maybe it disagrees with the desire. It depends on which one is pulling the other, and then the Masach works against. What does it mean it works against? What in spirituality is against? It's not some physical barrier, right? Or some partition. Or not even a potential or psychological partition, some field that rejects. So where does it work? Where is it? So we have such things here that we should, we should try to locate them in our sensation. Because all in all, spirituality is a sensation. It's inside the desire. What happens in the desire is called a feeling, a sensation. So, now, we learned a lot about it, that the upper light is abstract, that in the upper light there are no differences, but only when the desire pulls it, then it determines what kind of fulfillment it will feel in the desire. From Shosh Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet, of the Ratzon, and or the desire, and Naran Chai. And accordingly, the size of the Masach is determined that must be as resistance to the expansion. How can we invert this Masach from the Masach that intervenes, that prevents the expansion of the light in the Kli, to being
misader,
what arranges and adds, facilitates the entrance of the light into the Kli, but in a new form, and then in the light. Sorry, in the Kli, the light is felt as 620 times greater. How come? In what way? From where comes this amplification? From where such an amplification of the light comes? And how can it even be? In order to receive, for me, is the most natural. I am filled up. I'm filled up. Suddenly, in order to bestow is 620 times more? How can that be? I understand that if I give, well, I give, but to receive? I give because of a lack of choice, maybe. So, we need to, why am I talking about it? Try to bring it into your emotions. Let's go.
Item 80.
Item 90.
That measure of light that should have been accepted in Malchut, which she did not receive due to the detainment of the Masach, that entire measure rose back up and closed all three Bchinot of Or Elyon up to Chochmah. This is regarded as the place of that Or Chozer. This is the meaning of the words of the Rav, returned upward as Or Chozer to its place.
And we don't see more than Ochozel, only as much as we're capable of clothing O Yashal. Well, we don't understand how much it is. Is it the light of Ein Sof? As much as we have Ochozel, this is what we can detect, see, feel. This is the field of our perception.
Ot kuf or pnimi mevayeret et vaaz nigmar olam ha'tzivkinat hakelim.
That is because the ascent of the Or Chozer and its clothing of the Or Elyon from above downward make the kelim for the Or Elyon. 200. After the Or Chozer rose back up, Or Ein Sof clothed this Or Chozer as Atzmut that is clothed in the Kelim.
Here there are many things that we cannot talk about right now. Let's say Or Chozer, reflected light. What is say Or Chozer? It's not a kli. Or Chozer that clothes on the Or Yashar, direct light. It addresses it, it absorbs it by also receiving the Or Yashar in it. It becomes a kli, a vessel, not in it in itself. So, the specific interconnection between them, where one dresses in the other, that interconnection makes from the Or Yashar and the Or Chozer that relation which is called Or Pnimi, inner light, and in an inner kli in Or Chozer. Next.
Item 300, meaning up to the Masach in Kli Malchut, because the Masach pushed it back up and did not let it expand further.
Yes.
Item 400, relating to clarifying, because it is the light itself, but after its hitavut, it's becoming coarse. He wishes to say that the force of detainment in the Masach did not act on the Sfirot of Atzilut above Malchut at all, but only from Malchut downwards. That is why Or Ein Sof expands down to the Masach in Malchut as Atzilut without any detainment. However, Or Ein Sof that glitters and passes through the Masach downwards is greatly diminished because of this, and its essence is no longer regarded as Or Ein Sof.
Read it again.
Again, item 400, relating to because it is the light itself, but after it's becoming coarse. He wishes to say that the force of detainment in the Masach did not act on the Sfirot of Atzilut above Malchut at all, but only from Malchut downwards. That is why Or Ein Sof expands down to the Masach in Malchut as Atzilut without any detainment. However, Or Ein Sof that glitters and passes through the Masach downwards is greatly diminished because of this, and its essence is no longer regarded as Or Ein Sof.
So we have a light that stands before the Masach. It enters the Zivug de Aka'ah, the interconnection with the Or Chozer that comes from the Masach from below upward, and it dresses in it, and it comes into the Kli, to Malchut, and there's a big difference between that and the light that was in the first nine and the light that enters the Kli of Malchut. Next.
And in four, Dari's words. There are four b'chinot, four discernments in the hitabut, or the process of becoming coarse, of the Or Elyon. One is the reception from the upper one, the Elyon, called Chokhmah. Two, hachaka, or distancing from Chokhmah, which is Binah. Three, chalon and a narrow nekev, a window and a narrow opening, which is the Ampin. And four, hachaka from Chokhmah and a narrow nekev, which is Malchut. This hitabut of the light is because he who sees a great light cannot tolerate it if not through some distancing or some sort of screen or both. However, the Ein Sof shines in Keter Datzilut without any masach and distancing at all. Hence, the name of Keter Ein Sof. Chokhmah receives through Keter, but Bina received the Ein Sof through distancing, or Hachaka, because now the Ein Sof is far from her, and she can receive it. The Ampin does not receive the light, but through a narrow opening and a window. The Atzmut, the essence of the light, passes through that window without any masach, but there is no broad path, but only a very narrow one. However, he is near, because there isn't a great distance between Bina and Zerampin. Nevertheless, Nukva de Zerampin receives her light through the Nekev, through the opening, and the window, as does Zerampin, but it is by a long distance.
We see that every light should have a special kli. And indeed, what kind of lights do we have between the Sefirot, the light of Ein Sof? What did we learn with you about the Igulim and Yosher? That between the Yosher, you have the Igulim, the circles, and in Igulim, there's the light of Ein Sof. What enters the Yosher, there it's according to the intensity of the Kli, according to the Masach, and equivalence of four. But if not for the Sefirah of Yosher, in the Sefirot of Igulim, it's the same light of Ein Sof. And therefore, we need to see how much these Bechinot, Sefirot even, how much they help each other. Zerampin cannot discover its light if it won't have before it all of the Kelim that are there. Keter, Chokhmah, Binah, let's say, rather specifically, they work in such a way, these Kelim, so that Zerampin will emerge and also receive what comes into it. So, there is a full, complete interconnection in through many actions between the Sefirot. And we have to realize that all of these Sefirot are connected to the first Havaya, in Ein Sof. And there, it the correct interconnection is orchestrated, and only later it is implemented down below in the Olamot and Parzufim. So this first Havaya in Ein Sof is constantly receiving into itself more and more details from the Parzufim, the various Parzufim down below in the Olamot, and it swallows them up. And they are included in it. This is why you should see each discernment as necessary as a result of the previous discernments. And what happens in it is necessarily in order to keep sustain the next phenomena in line, the ones below it. So in this Kli, nothing exists in its own right. And this is what we see, how it's all organized. There's no one, but everyone exists only in order to discover the Creator. And to discover the Creator means one for everyone. Each one is for the whole thing, for everyone. Well, there are no words here, really, but the language here is incapable of conveying it. Please. Oh, we have
one. Yeah, number one, inner light clarifies the light getting more coarse. This avyut has already been explained. It does not appear in the light at once, since it is opposite from the light. Instead, it hangs down from the pure to the slightly more coarse, and from there to the slightly more coarse, until it completes its avyut, or called Bchinat Daled or Malchut.
What is this avyut? We don't grasp light. There's no such thing as light. I don't know. Is there such a thing as electricity? There is different phenomena, And what you grasp as a result of electrons, things moving around, but what is electricity? This is a hidden force. We don't perceive the forces. We only can perceive the way it influences a certain substance. Same with light. Moves from place to place. Jose, Yasha, with this different phenomena. We don't know. We just know that our vessels are impressed in a certain way that tell us that there are certain forces. And the kelim, they necessarily carry these things out. So, following the actions that take place inside the kelim, or the actions that we take that take place inside the kelim, we call them light, meaning a hidden force acting within the desire.
Item 1, Opnimim. This aviut, coarseness, has already been explained. It does not appear in the light at once, since it is opposite from the light. Instead, it hangs down from pure to slightly more coarse, from there to the slightly more coarse, until it completes its coarseness, called Bchinat Dalet or Malchut. These four discernments are called Chokhmah, Binah, Zer'anpin, and Malchut, and must be present in every emanated. The reason for the necessity and the definition of these discernments have been explained thoroughly above. Study there, and I rely on it and do not bring it here due to its length, though every word of it is needed. Item 2, Inner Light, clarifies the Keter of Atzilut, Ein Sof shines in it. Every Olam and every Partsuf, wherever it is, must receive its abundance from Ein Sof. Hence, the inspiration of Ein Sof that is ascribed to a certain world or Partsuf is called the Keter of that Olam and the Keter of the Partsuf. It is also called the emanator of that specific Olam, world. It is written the Ein Sof shines in the Keter of Atzilut, means that there is an inspiration of Ein Sof with respect to Olam Atzilut. That is why Keter is called Ein Sof or Ma'atzil. Item 3, Inner Light, clarifies Chokhmah receives from Keter. The expansion of the light of Ein Sof that extends from the first Keter to the Olam is called the light of Chokhmah. It is necessary that the will to receive the all, the light, will be incorporated with the light of Chokhmah. For otherwise, the light of Ein Sof would be regarded as expanding. However, this will to receive is not really regarded as disparity of form and coarseness, because this will to receive came to her from the upper one, meaning from Keter. This is because the will to bestow in the Keter necessitates the existence of a will to receive in Chokhmah. That is the meaning of the words of the Rav, Chokhmah receives through Keter. It means that the reception in Chokhmah came to her from the Keter and by his power. Thus, a viut from that type of will to receive is very frail indeed, and it is called Bchina Aleph. We'll read it again. Inner Light number 3 clarifies Chokhmah receives from Keter. The expansion of the light of Ein Sof that extends first from Keter to the Olam is called O Chokhmah. It is necessary that the will to receive the light of Chokhmah will be incorporated with this light of Chokhmah. For otherwise, the light of Ein Sof would not be regarded as expanding. However, this will to receive is not really regarded as the disparity of form and of youth, because this will to receive came to her from the upper one, meaning from Keter. This is because the will to bestow in Keter necessitates the existence of a will to receive in Chokhmah. That is the meaning of the words of the Rav, Chokhmah receives through Keter. It means that the reception in Chokhmah came to her from Keter and by his power. Thus, the viewed from that type of will to receive is very frail indeed, and it is called Bchina Aleph.
If anyone has a question very precise to the point, go ahead. None. Yes, Owen.
What does it mean that the desire to bestow in the Keter necessitates the will to receive in Chokhmah?
Because Keter begets Chokhmah? Because of the desire to bestow in the emanator, the will to receive in the emanated being is born.
So what does it mean about that will to receive?
That it corresponds precisely the will to bestow, which is in the Keter.
And what does it mean that
between them, there is an ideal kind of connection, perfect, because the lower comes out of the upper, in all of its forms, manners, intensity, force, comes out of the upper, realizing precisely what the upper needs of it, meaning the lower is no longer considered as something existing in and of itself, but it is that upper that made the opposite of itself out of itself. This means born from the upper. What the upper planned and wanted and arranged according to the desire in the upper, precisely the very same way comes out the lower with its entire structure and all of its actions. In Chokhmah, there's nothing that could be like in the Ten Sefirot in general. And what happens in them, therefore, in all the Ten Sefirot is that what is revealed is the intention of creation that exists in Keter. That the intention of creation that exists in the Keter of Keter, why to create everything and how, then all that is revealed in the Ten Sefirot that are elicited from it necessarily, and it can't be any other way. And therefore the connection between the Sefirot, it completely corresponds in Avaya, I have not changed my Avaya, and this is how it is in the whole of creation. And the matter of the addition, which is revealed in the middle third of Tiferet, in between the place where the created being can participate, meaning the measure to which the created being can develop himself to take the kelim that exist below the Tiferet and to raise them above the Tiferet, meaning to relate its will to receive to the will to bestow. It's a very non-clear situation, not conspicuous, because one way or another, where does the created being get a desire of its own? What is that free choice in him? So we learn that through the concealments that are built in the expansion of the Kli from above down in the created being, as if there is a feeling that he himself can add and act. And even though that we can't understand it, the purpose of it is for us not to know. We can't digest it at the moment. How could something like that be that is born unknowingly because of the concealment? These are relative things, meaning something's hidden from me right now, and so I have to work in the dark, meaning that the upper, on purpose,
gives me these kinds of conditions so that in them I will be able to err, identify with them, do something. So this is the work, this is the preparation of the upper toward me. Or is there really a place where the upper doesn't control, that he's not in power there, and only I can rule there and add to creation in a real way, and not like he does in make-believe. It's like when we play with kids, that we're as if losing to them, we're preparing something for them, but to us it's all clear and revealed. No, here it's a question. I understand that the Creator is much higher than my calculations, our calculations, and therefore I would like to think, even though that in the moment it is something that I can't attain, grasp, that the concealment is something that also works on him, not only on me. And the game is serious. That's really on the level of the Creator and not on the level of human beings, like with kids, that we hide something from them in order to give them some kind of incentive to look and try and solve. So here, in the compatibility between the Sefirot, we still don't see the ability for it. Oh, we'll talk about it. Let's take it step by step.
Number 4, Inner Light. Chokhmah becomes more of as it expands, because when she completes the Itpashtut, the expansion, the desire in her increases and she extends the upper light from Chasadim, from Ein Sof, and distances herself from O Chokhmah, because this overcoming was made by her own awakening and not by an upper force. That desire is regarded as frail coarseness, but more than Chokhmah. It is therefore necessary that due to this change, Chokhmah becomes separate, a separate Binah called Bchina Bet, the second discernment. This is the meaning of what the Ari said, Binah received the upper light through Chokhmah, through harchaka, distancing. This is because this coarseness of Bchina Bet is called distancing, because she distanced herself from receiving the light of Chokhmah in order to receive the light of Chasadim. This overcoming of the desire is still not regarded as the complete coarseness, because it comes from a will to bestow and equalizes in form with the emanator. However, it is more coarse than Bchina Aleph, because the entire desire in Bchina Aleph is not hers, but comes from Keto. Bchina Bet acts out of her own overcoming of the desire, and that is why the second discernment is regarded as the root for the complete will to receive.
Meaning, where does the will to receive and the malchut come from? From the will to bestow. From the will to bestow that awakens in the Binah, that wants to bestow to the Ketel. And then it's frustrated. How can I bestow? And as a result, it develops the will to receive and the malchut. Meaning, the will to receive, that's in the Sefirot, Parzufim, Olamot, before the shattering, it is a will to receive that never touched reception, real reception, it didn't really touch reception. Meaning, it all stems from the desire of the Binah to bestow, to give, to identify with the Keter. And as a result, it begins to develop the Malchut. Therefore, even in Malchut, her will to receive is entirely based on the desire to bestow. Therefore, there has to be the shattering, descents, confusions, in short, many actions in order to start working with the real evil inclination. And also here, meaning, as much as it seems to us that the world is all full of shells, klipot, but in all of these desires, there is a very big will to bestow that operates everything and, as it says, enlivens everything. Next.
Inner light number 5 clarifies that now Ein Sof is far from it and she can receive it. After Bina awakened to draw the light of Chassadim from the emanator, it drew far from the light of Chokhmah. Otherwise, she would not have been able to receive the light of Chassadim, because the light of Chokhmah is extended by the will to receive, and the light of Chassadim by the will to bestow. Thus, Bchina Aleph and Bchina Bet are opposites from the beginning of their creation. That is why the Rav writes, now the Ein Sof is far from her, and she can receive it. It means that she drew far and became a third degree from Ein Sof, which is an average between Bina and Ein Sof. She left it because now she's distanced from the light of Chochmah and became a third degree, Chochmah being Bchina Aleph, the second to Ein Sof, and Bina being Bchina Bet, the third from Ein Sof. She could now receive the light of Chassadim that she drew. Had she not distanced herself to a third degree, she would not be able to receive.
Meaning, Zeranpin has to be born from the Bina as her son, that is, on the one hand, completely under the control of Bina, and the Bina controls him with the light of Chassadim, giving birth to him, sustaining him by her own force, but in her will to receive, as much as he comes out of the Bina, necessarily he's separated from the Bina, meaning the Bina doesn't have that much freedom and dependence of its own, because the Bina, she gives birth to him and controls him, but he is the beginning of the will to receive.
We must know that the word far is a term that indicates the diminution of Chokhmah. As it is written, I said, I will get wisdom, but it was far from me. It is also the meaning of the verse, and his sister stood afar off. There is no reason to discuss it any further. 6. Inner light clarifies Zeranpin receives the light through Chalon and Nekev Tzal. Bina also becomes more of, more coarse at the end of her expansion, because she distances the light of Chokhmah from her. It is known that the light of Chokhmah is the primary essence of the emanated. Thus, at the end of her expansion, the will to receive the illumination of Chokhmah into the light of Chassadim increased in her. Because the only difference between the spirituals is the disparity of form. This new illumination emerged, meaning the light of Chassadim, inside which there is the illumination of Chokhmah, and acquired a separate name, being Zeranpin. It is called by that name because the light of Chokhmah is called the light of face. As it is written, a man's wisdom make his face to shine, because it has no more than the illumination of Chokhmah, but its essence is only the light of Chassadim of Bina. It is called Zeranpin, meaning a small face, indicating the small amount of light of Chokhmah. It is also called Bchina Gimel, and the Aviyut in it is called Chalon Enekevtza, a window with a small crack. Because it has been explained that the Masach appears in the upper one of the integration of the lower one is called Chalon, a window. That is because it has no dinim, but only reason for the illumination like a window. Because any Aviyut and Masach is the Aviyut from the integration of Bia in it. The Aviyut, the Zer Anpin, is called Chalon for the illumination or light of Gadlut.
Meaning Zer Anpin is, it consists of two different desires, the will to bestow of the Bina and the will to receive that's comprised in it, and therefore it consists of both, and therefore down to its upper half, it's under the influence of Bina, then it has the will to receive of its own, therefore it's called Chalon and Nekevtzal, meaning that these two desires, these two phenomena, the light of Chokhmah and the light of Chasadim, the illumination of Chokhmah and Chasadim spread in him. We'll learn about him in the future a lot.
Number 7 clarifies it is close, meaning there isn't the distancing of Chokhmah that exists in Bina, because the only difference between him and Bina that he has an illumination from Chokhmah. That is why the Ari writes, however, he is near, meaning there isn't a distancing in him. Number 8 clarifies from Bina Tazer Anpin, it's not distant. The expansion of the light of Bina to Bchina Gimel, which is Zer Anpin, does not generate a distancing. On the contrary, it generates closeness of Chokhmah. It has already been explained that near and far are definitions of Chokhmah.
There's the matter here of necessarily being born, coming out in the desire of Bina, and therefore, even though that there is something in him that's opposite to the Bina, he's not considered far away. Because he was born from the will to bestow. There's a difference what kind of desire you're born from, the will to receive, and maybe you're the will to bestow, but still, there's some kind of oppositeness in this connection, whereas if you're born from the will to bestow, even if you're opposite, there's not that much of a distance. Okay? So, if you hear, you hear. If you don't, you don't. It'll permeate, bit by bit. These are so basic things that we won't be able to escape them. We'll learn them 1,000 more times.
9. Clarifies the Nukba of Zer Anpin. The light comes through the Nekev and Chalon, just like in Zer Anpin. After the 3 Bchinot of Aviyut fully expanded to the point that Zer Anpin was fully expanded, the complete will to receive that is fit for reception had awakened. It is called Bchinat Daled or Malchut or Nukba of Zer Anpin, where the Tzimtzum took place. Thus, from the Tzimtzum, the restriction and onward, this Bchinat Daled no longer receives the light of Ein Sof. Hence, her Bchinat of Yud is called Harchakat, distancing. She too has 2 degrees, called Chalon and a narrow Nekev, as in Zer Anpin. The influence of the Gadlut is called Chalon, and the influence of the Katnut is called Nekev Tzar. There is a big difference between the Archaka and Bchina Bet and the Archaka and Bchina Daled. The Archaka of Bchina Bet is a voluntarily Archaka, as it says, because he delights in mercy, meaning she wants Chasadim and not Chokhmah. The Archaka of Bchina Daled, however, is forced hachaka due to the masach that was erected in Bchina Dalet.
Okay?
You want to sing?
Tov. Ma, Amnon or Ma, Amnon? If Tzvika lo, as Amnon ken?
If Tzvika doesn't, then he does.
No.
Well, maybe we'll need another air conditioner, so let him ask.
Rav, you said that the desire to bestow to the upper one, to Bina, it creates Bina Aleph. And it sounds like it should be the opposite. If I want to bestow, why do I need a deficiency?
You're right. We're going a bit deeper in here and into the material, and so we have good questions. Where does the desire to bestow of the Bina come from? It's not a desire to bestow like in Keto. It's not just that same desire to bestow, but the desire to bestow of Bina comes as a result of seeing how Keto bestows the Chokhmah, builds the Chokhmah, fills it up. And this entire action that the Keto performs, where does it learn from? It doesn't feel the Keto. She feels it from Chokhmah. Meaning, the Chokhmah that gives birth to me is full. How is it full? In front of it, there is something that fulfills her. In front of her, there is something that created her. Her desire to receive, that filled her up. Meaning, there is someone that gives, loves, fulfills. And what do I feel there? Says the Bina. I feel the upper. That this upper, because he has received everything from his upper, the Keto, what does he want? After that, he wants to bestow, to be like the Keto. But not to bestow like the Keto. He's already bestowing like the will to receive that is about to be the bestower. Therefore, Bina is Bchina Bet of Aviyut. It's a very big difference. Bchina Chorosh of Aviyut, like Keto, or Bchina Bet of Aviyut, like Bina. That her desire to bestow comes as a result of feeling what does it mean to be a receiver? What does it mean to receive all this benefit? And after I receive all this benefit, then as a result of the benefit that I attain in it, the will to bestow of the upper, then I'm impressed by that and I want to be like him. Meaning the will to receive of the Bina stems from her wanting to resemble, to be like the Keto. This is the main thing here. And this later on brings about the entire correction of the Ten Sefirot that comes from the Bina. And you asked what?
So why does she build Bchina Aleph, the will to receive?
Who?
The Bina. She wants to resemble Keter, so she...
Bchina Gimel builds it. Zerampin.
No, she builds Aleph.
No, I don't understand what you're talking about. Shorish Aleph Bet Gimel Daled Avaya. So, Bchina Bet, which is Bina, gives birth to Bchina Gimel. She herself is Bchina Bet of Aviyut. Why is she coerced than the Keter? The Keter receives. And she bestows. Why is she coercer? Because her entire will to bestow comes as a result of her feeling the reception from the upper of the upper, the Keter, and therefore she becomes a bestower toward the Bina. No, okay. No, Roy Meron. There is.
Mashu.
יש עוד אהבה בעולם, גם אם השתכחה, גם אם
הסתתרה גם אם טרם גילית את סודה יש עוד אהבה בעולם גם אם השתכחה גם אם הסתתרה גם אם טרם גילית את סודה היא השיר של החיים היא האור של השירים קבל אותה אל תרתה רק לך היא נועדה יש עוד אהבה בעולם אותה עוד יגלו כולם רק לפתוח צוהר חם היא כבר תמצא לה את דרכה לשם היא השיר של החיים היא האור של השירים קבל אותה אל תרתה רק לך היא Shoulder